A call to order, the Ways and Means Committee hearing this morning. There are two bills that were originally, actually three that were originally on the meeting notice that will not be heard today. That's the Wardlow bill, House File 211, and both of the Beard bills, House File 1025 and 1068. We will not be meeting tomorrow, but we will be meeting on Monday, so we would expect that those three bills would be on the agenda for Monday. I believe it'll be morning, but we have to double check with what the floor schedule will be for Monday.
And, you know,
Representative Carlson.
What the other bills might be that on Monday, then C-Street potentially.
Representative Carlson, I do not know. We had a busy night here last night, and we haven't readjusted for what's going to happen on Monday, but as soon as we know, we'll let you know. Thank you. Representative Smith, you are first up. Representative Smith, we don't quite have a quorum yet. I'll let you know when we do, but if you'd like to start with whichever bill you'd like to begin with this morning.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'd like to start with House File 104, which is the claims bill. I believe the amount is $59,683.29, and I'm going to ask Mr. Mbeki to walk through this bill.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd state your name for the record, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Craig Lindeke from the Revisor of Statutes Office. I'm counsel to the Subcommittee on Claims, have been for a few years. House File 104 is really a fairly average claims bill. There's nothing unusual in this one. And it does appropriate $59,683 to the Department of Corrections in fiscal year 2012 and $1,123 to the Department of Revenue to pay a claim in fiscal year 2011.
And members, if I might bring to your attention, there is a delete all amendment that once we have a quorum, I'm assuming we'll be working off of. Continue.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right. The bill that you actually have in front of you was a placeholder bill that I drafted to have introduced early in the session, which only had the one claim that was approved in November. We had a meeting April 15th at which Representative Smith and Senator Jungbauer were the chairs, during which we passed all of these additional claims, mostly for injuries related to Department of Corrections work, sentencing to service, community work service, and injuries in the correctional facilities, all of which are fairly typical.
If I might now have a quorum, I'll officially call the meeting to order. Representative Smith, if you'd like to move your bill.
Madam Chair, yes, I would. I'd like to move House File 104 be recommended to pass. And then, as you pointed out, there is an amendment.
All right. If you'd like to move your amendment to get the bill in the shape you'd like to discuss.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the amendment noted as A11-0346.
All right. Members, any questions on the motion to move the 346 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, unless there's questions.
Sir, do you have any additional comments that you'd like to add?
Well, Madam Chair, the only unusual claim perhaps is the Department of Revenue claim. This was the second time or third time I can remember that we've done this, where someone, for medical reasons, which the person called and explained to us, was unable to cash a property tax refund check that she had received, which had expired. They expire after a couple years and become invalid. And so she explained the medical reasons why she had lost the check and just found it. And the subcommittee, to a person, voted to grant her the right to have this check honored by the Department of Revenue.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions? Representative Biscombe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm noticing on a lot of these Department of Corrections claims, the person making the claim was performing duties under sentence to serve work. However, I noticed the largest, Mr. Walker, says that suffered hand injuries while performing assigned duties. Is Mr. Walker an employee of the state at Moose Lake?
Madam Chair, Representative Biskins, Mr. Walker is an inmate, a prisoner at MCF Moose Lake, and he, like the gentleman above him, have no idea if these people are gentlemen, but the person above him, Nicholas Tobin, they both were doing work in various wood shops, usually at these prisons, when they were injured. Cut off fingers, usually.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any additional questions of the bill author or witness? Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question I have, it just has occurred to me before, and as I've processed these, isn't there some form of insurance, or has that already been used? I'm not quite certain as to why these would come to the state, because just a two-second answer would be helpful.
Mr. Lindeke.
Excuse me.
Madam Chair and Representative Kiffmeyer, if these people, the sentenced to service people, for example, those are the ones that might have their own private insurance. If they do have insurance, it's required that they use that first. By and large, they don't have it.
Representative Kiffmeyer? All right. Any additional questions? Seeing none, Representative Smith, if you'd like to renew your motion.
Madam Chair, I would. I'd move that House File 104 as amended be recommended to pass.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails.
Madam Chair, I've said this before. I'm going to say it one more time. This is actually my last claims bill. I am retiring June 30th.
Wow.
And the House has applauded me twice for my retirement. In a couple other years when people have announced I was leaving, and I never left, but this time I'm going to leave.
Mr. Lindeke, thank you so much for your service.
Madam Chair,
thank
maybe
you.
He could
Representative
share,
Carlson.
I had just talked to him before we came in, the number of years he's worked with the Minnesota House.
Mr. Lindeke?
Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, I will have worked here 35 years.
Wow.
And I'm 65 years old, and that's about enough. but I enjoyed working with. Let me see if there's anyone I didn't. Uncle Greg in particular. I enjoyed working with all of you.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair,
Minnesota were well served by
Madam
you.
Chair, maybe Representative Carlson can remind us, was Mr. Lindeke here first or Representative Carlson?
Representative Carlson.
I was here a little bit earlier. This is my 39th year.
Wow. All right. Representative Kiffmeyer, are you willing to move the minutes from the May 11th meeting?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move the minutes.
All right. Any questions, additions, corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The minutes are adopted. Representative Smith, your next bill.
Madam Chair, House File 556. And I move that House File 556 be recommended to pass.
All right. Thank you. And Representative Smith, it's my understanding that this language was included in your omnibus bill. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, yes. This bill language has been approved by Public Safety and Crime Prevention Policy and Finance Committee and by the committee I chair, Judiciary Policy and Finance, as well as this committee as part of the Senate File 960.
And so, members, the costs recognized in the fiscal note in your packet were accounted for when the omnibus bill went to the House.
Yeah.
Representative Smith.
Okay. Madam Chair, just briefly on this bill, again, it treats proposes to treat juvenile prostitutes as victims in need of services and protections rather than as criminals. It increases fines on patrons of prostitution and dedicates 40% of those fines to victim services for sexually exploited youth, prohibits the court from waiving the fines due to indigent status. Also, it proposes to combat sex trafficking of youth through the creation of a safe harbor policy for sex trafficked youth, sexually exploited youth, and statewide victims services model. The only cost to the state in the original version of the bill, as might be reflected in a previous fiscal note, was a $12,000 startup cost for the commissioner of DPS to set a statewide victim services model. However, Madam Chair, the bill before us today, before you, makes the creation of the services model contingent on a private donation and thus no additional cost to it.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Representative Smith? Seeing none, if you'd like to renew your motion.
Madam Chair, I would renew the motion that House File 556 before us be recommended to pass.
And referred to the General Register.
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you. Representative Smith, I think we have one more.
Madam Chair, we do. House File 988 has previously been heard and passed as Article 3 of House File 440. So I'd like to renew or move today that 988 be recommended to pass, put on the General Register.
All right, thank you. If you'd like to briefly explain your bill.
I will. Again, it was previously heard as Article 3 of House File 440, first the Grossman, which was rolled into Senate File 958, the Judiciary Public Safety Finance Bill. The language before you is exactly the same. The original fiscal note had a $62,000 per year cost in requiring the courts to make a, quote, written determination, unquote, when appointing a public defender outside of the new income guidelines. However, as we did with language previously heard by this committee, the written determination was replaced with simply makes a determination. So, and we've been assured by the courts that there would be no additional cost. Thus, the $62,000 estimate previously no longer applies now. One other provision I'd like to note is that the bill authorizes the court to waive in part the current $75 copay for public defender services. Current law allows for a full waiver of the copay, so this would give the judge the discretion to order a reduced copay if a lesser amount is more consistent with the defendant's ability to pay.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Representative Smith? Representative Champion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, Chair Smith, can you briefly tell the committee how we arrived at, or how the committee arrived at, or your bill arrives at making a cutoff for the income levels for public defender services? And it's my understanding that it also connects to the offense level. And so can you talk a little about how that came about?
Madam Chair, Representative Champion, yes, I will talk as little as I can about that. But I don't know if this directly answers your question, but the bill does a few things. It requires the prosecutor to certify cases as petty misdemeanors, which would remove the statutory appointment of a public defender in those cases. It also clarifies that those persons with a statutory right to a public defender may request a public defender. Let me think for a moment. It reforms, in part, the process whereby establishing and determining financial eligibility for appointment of a public defender. It has statutory income guidelines. It prohibits the appointment of a public defender if a defendant is financially able to retain their own counsel but refuses to do so. It adds language requiring a defendant who becomes able to make partial payments to thereby reimburse the state. There you have it.
Representative Champion.
And Madam Chair, Representative Smith, did the income cutoffs Were those shared with the Public Defender's Office, and how did the Public Defender's Office feel about those income cutoffs?
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative Champion, I don't believe we had any negative. Okay. A little stronger information. Yes, they were shared, and they did agree.
Representative Carlson.
No, Madam Chair, I had one of the reasons that I think Representative Champion is asking the question, and I have a follow-up, is that he and I had a brief discussion yesterday about the bill, and one of the issues that I was concerned about was the income cutoffs and what that meant as a result of Supreme Court rulings relative to the right to have an attorney, and whether we're in a gray area there that could ultimately lead to court cases and additional costs. So perhaps you can, I see somebody coming forward to answer that, but.
Madam Chair, Representative.
It's a constitutional question that I'm asking relative to the income cutoffs.
Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, I understand the question, and I'm going to ask Ms. Perez give you the answer.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd state your name for the record, please.
Sure. Madam Chair and members, I'm Rebecca Perez from House Research. I don't know if I have an exact answer to your question, but the income thresholds are in Section 3, so it's a graduated scale. For a misdemeanor, it would be 125% of the poverty guidelines. For a gross misdemeanor, it would be 150%, and then for a felony, it would be 175%. And then I would note on page 2, line 22, the bill maintains the language that if the court determines that the defendant, through any combination of assets or income, would be unable to pay the reasonable costs charged by counsel, then they would still get a defendant. So the graduated scale is not a hard determination. The court still has that clause 4. They can make the determination in their discretion. So I think that would address constitutional issues.
Okay. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I was looking primarily at the income guidelines, and it sounds like House Research then is comfortable with that language. It's sort of a catch-all, just in case somebody doesn't have the resources for an attorney, that even if their income was above those guidelines, they would still be entitled to a lawyer. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, Madam Chair and Representative. Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments? Seeing none, Representative Smith, if you'd like to renew your motion.
Madam Chair, yes, I would move that House File 988 be recommended to pass.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
No.
The motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Smith. The next item on our agenda is Representative Kiffmeyer, House File 1478. For people or members that came in late this morning, the two Beard bills and the Wardlow bill will not be heard today. We are expecting to hear those on Monday. Welcome to the committee, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. This is a bill that does have bipartisan support as well. Representatives Gutwald, Hilty, Cornish, and Morrow, and tightens up some of the rules and procedures in regards to the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. And here today to testify and give the details of the bill. I have a testifier as well. So if there are any questions that you may have, Madam Chair, but this has no fiscal note. It's been reviewed, and just able to answer any questions if you have need.
All right, Representative Kiffmeyer, it's my understanding this wasn't included in the omnibus bill, but rather is the governor's initiatives in this particular area. Is that correct?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions of the bill author? All right. Seeing none, Representative Kiffmeyer, if you'd like to renew your motion.
Madam Chair, I renew my motion to pass House File 1478 and with recommendation to pass and be placed on the general register.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer. Representative Anderson.
morning, Madam Chair.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd like to move your bill for consideration.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move House File 250, that first engrossment, to be passed and move to the general register. And I have with me Mr. Lindeke from the Revisor's Office. This bill in the Senate is being carried by Senator Ron Latz, and it's a claims bill basically to eliminate governmental tort immunity for certain claims involving patients or inmates in state institutions. It basically goes back to the claims bill that Representative Smith had this morning, and I sat on the claims committee for many, many years, and between Senator Latz and myself, we found that a lot of things were kind of coincidental as far as a lot of claims coming in from people within the prison system, and it was kind of a overview of what we saw, that it became almost like an easy way to get the claims committee to hear these bills and to go after or try to get money from the state, and we decided that we needed to up the ante a little bit. And so what we see here in the bill is basically there's no charge to it, but we've changed some of the claim charges. The claim fee used to be $5, now it's $10, and the claim that used to be the threshold used to be $500. We've changed that to $1,000 for people making claims. A lot of the claims were frivolous, and we dismissed a lot of the claims that came through our committee on a regular basis, because from hearing testimony from the DOC, it just and the people that testified on behalf of the patients, that it was basically through their fault and not through the fault of the state that these claims were coming forward. A big concern was in on page 2.25, people were concerned about the individuals losing their rights to loss and damage and stuff, and we moved that section into another part of the section so that people can still recover from the state of Minnesota as so recognized, and as their testimony comes forward based on what we as a claims committee and as a state feels necessary. And with that, I'll leave that up to questions from or for Mr. Lindeke.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Welcome back so soon, Mr. Lindeke. can you tell us when the last time this threshold was changed?
The threshold is, in fact, I brought the book here so I could check. I should know this because we talked about it in Representative Westrum's committee when this bill was there. The threshold is over 10 years old. I did consumer price index check on this, and in this particular instance, the threshold of going from 500 to 1,000 is actually less than probably what we ought to go to. It's $1,000 is well within the $500 it was when it was adopted.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions of the bill author or his witness?
And it simply, Madam Chair, makes it easier for the claims subcommittee and for the departments. Now they can pay up to $1,000 without actually having to bring the claim to the claims subcommittee, and then be reimbursed for it after the fact, whereas in the past it's been $500. So we've gotten a lot of small medical payments and things that we've had to make that were between $500 and $1,000. This will help the claims subcommittee.
Thank you, Mr. Lindeke. Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Lindeke, what number do you think it should be?
Mr. Lindeke.
Just at this point, I think this is the number.
Well,
Madam Representative Kahn.
I'm following your comment, which said this is well below the increase in the cost of living, rate of inflation, and so forth. So let me rephrase the question in a more politically appropriate way, which is, what is the proper number for one to adhere to those standards?
Mr. Lindeke.
I believe it would be $1,250 or $1,500. And of course, if you look at the claims bill that Representative Smith just brought to you, you'd see that we would then not have to deal with a number with a few more of those claims at the claims subcommittee, and instead would simply reimburse the department. The good feature of actually having the department be able to pay these rather than having to have the claims come to the subcommittee is that when the injury takes place and the medical expenses are incurred, the department can pay them. And so the people providing the services get paid almost as soon as they have provided the services. Whereas when they have to come to the claims subcommittee, we have the money available in fiscal year 2012. So it's only after July 1st that these people who have been who provided services 9 months or more ago can be paid.
Representative Kahn.
Well, let me just try this. In terms of a little push at efficiency of government and a little bit of compassion, I assume there aren't a lot of cases of wrongfully paid claims, and let me try making the motion to make that number 1250.
So Representative Kahn is proposing an oral amendment, page 3, line 21, delete 1,000, insert 1,250, if and I understood correctly.
Yes, and on page 4 also.
And that same change would also be made on page 4, line 1.
I mean, Madam Chairman,
Representative Kahn,
to do such a little thing that will have a non-existent, I'm sorry, it will have a negative effect on the work of the Claims Committee, but, gee, I think we could show a little compassion at this point.
And maybe if we can get comment from Representative Anderson and Representative Smith before we vote on this. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, this this discussion did go on with Senator Latz and with Mr. Lindeke and others that have been on the Claims Committee, but knowing how frugal we are, we thought $1,000 would be okay. But we're not opposed to what you're doing. We just didn't think that the conservativeness of this legislature would go for higher than that. So,
Madam Chairman,
Representative Kahn,
this seems to go in the direction of a good conservative direction, because we save a lot of work and a lot of effort, and we get people, probably half of whom are Republicans, their money faster, so that they can invest it as they choose to do it, rather than keeping it in the hands of the government.
Representative Smith, do you want to weigh in on the amendment?
Oh, Madam Chair, not really, but I do like to take every opportunity that comes along that I can support Representative Kahn and her work, so I'll go ahead and do so. Just as an aside, this is my first trip through the Subcommittee on Claims, and I was impressed with a couple of things. The claims that are in this bill are legitimate. A number were not, perhaps. I do recall one claim was for pain and suffering in the amount of $200 million. So we did not include that one in this.
Thank you. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kahn, and following your logic, and I do appreciate it, your politically correct logic, I wonder if you'd accept as an oral amendment to your amendment that on page 4, line 11, we change $10 to $12.50.
Representative Kahn.
Well, Madam Chairman, I'm neutral on that. You can make the amendment, and we'll see how it goes. Because that takes money from the people. I'm trying to give money to the people more effectively.
Representative.
And this might mean that the bill would have to go to taxes.
Yeah.
Unless we also put on my amendment, Madam Chairman, to abolish that silly language that a fee is a tax.
We're not going there today, Representative Kahn. Representative Biskins, did you have anything else?
No.
Okay, Representative Westrom.
Well, Madam Chair, that was my discussion, and I know we debated over whether $10 was an adequate increase as kind of a threshold of somebody really needing to file a claim, but I know our committee contemplated going to 15 or 20, and I wonder if we shouldn't modify that as well.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Lindeke.
In response to the discussion on the fee from Representative Biskins and Representative Westrom, the $5 was put in place at the suggestion of Representative Connie Morrison a number of years ago, and... Yeah. And indexing it, it only comes up to a little bit less, actually, than $10. So that's how I was doing this. It seemed like 10 was the right amount to raise it to. But the whole point of this was not to keep the average citizen from making claims like the woman with her tax, expired tax return check. The plan was to try to get fewer prisoners to make property claims for small amounts of money that the subcommittee actually, when they take the property claims, of which there are 50 or 75 a year, usually they'll take out two or three that look like they might have some questions, and then they just deny the rest en masse because they've looked at them carefully, and it's very hard to give these people money for these things because there's no proof whatsoever that in some cases they had them or that someone took them or broke them. So it was an attempt to get prisoners to file fewer property claims. And whether $10 will do it or not, I don't know. And the other feature of the fee is that if your claim succeeds, you get the $5 back, which is why in the case of the lady with the property tax refund, we're giving her back $1,123 for her $1,118 check.
Thank you. Representative Westrom?
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Lindeke, I appreciate that insight. Refresh the committee and myself on the $5. We're still getting about 75 claims a year, and most of them are being thrown out without facts or substantiated evidence. Is the idea $10 is going to be enough to deter that, or doesn't sound like we're probably moving? Do you think maybe $10 will do that?
Mr. Lindeke.
Madam Chair and Representative Westrom, I think it will reduce the number of property claims. Whether it'll reduce them significantly, I don't know. Some people, and we get five or six claims from the same person every couple of years, you know. Some people just love to file claims. We'll get them. They don't mind paying the $5 or $10. We'll get a lot of claims. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. But this may reduce it by a bit.
Representative Westrom, are you?
Well, Madam Chair, I'm kind of inclined. I think I'd like to orally amend Representative Kahn's amendment.
Representative Westrom, maybe if we can, let's
do Kahn's first.
Representative Kahn's amendment first, and then if you'd like to make another amendment. I think we should let them each stand on their own here. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One question for Mr. Lindeke. First of all, I'd like to rename the Kahn Amendment after 35 years. I think it should be called the Lindeke Amendment to 1250, if that's okay with Representative Kahn.
Sure.
And if we go to 1250, that wouldn't change any procedures as far as if the department feels frivolous, they could still deny it, and that doesn't change any of that language.
Madam Chair, Representative Davids, who, by the way, was on the claim subcommittee, I enjoyed serving with him for a two-year period. No, this just makes it easier for the department to pay people quickly. They don't. I'm sure that Randy Hartnett over at the department and the other people involved won't pay frivolous claims.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to support the Lindeke Amendment.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I was just going to say raising it to $1,250. I was actually sitting here thinking of $1,500, but my thought was that we hadn't made these adjustments in 10 years, I think, is what Mr. Lindeke said. And then when we referenced Connie Morrison, it's been many years since she's been here, probably a decade or more.
I actually went to school with her children.
Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, I do see that it was 1984 when the $500 was put in place.
So, and that's my point, that when we're discussing this going from $1,000 to $1,250, we obviously don't make these adjustments very frequently. And if someone is sitting here another 10 years from now and looking back and saying, well, in 2011, so $1,250 would seem reasonable. I would even suggest going to $1,500 when you look at the timeline. But
well, and Representative,
not going to offer an amendment.
Yeah, Representative Carlson, I think we're actually would be going from $500 to $1,500 is what the move actually would be. We're not at $1,250 yet.
No, I understand that, and I'm not offering an amendment. I'm just talking about the fact that when we make this adjustment, Madam Chair, it'll probably be in place for a long time, looking at the history.
Well, all right, thank you. Representative Kahn.
Well, Madam Chairman, first of all, I intend to support the Westrum Amendment, but the other thing is, you know, if we leave it at, do it at 1250, that will give some other legislature 10 more minutes of great discussion on this in the future, and why would we want to deprive them of that?
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I didn't think we were going to get into gambling so early this morning.
All right. Are there any additional questions on the Kahn-Lindeke oral amendment to change 1,000 to 1,250? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Representative Westrum, if you are
Madam Chair, and I'm open to guidance from the chair even, but I'm thinking raise the 10 to 20. It would be my oral amendment.
Well, let's ask Representative Kahn. She stated that she would be willing to support your amendment to maybe.
Representative Kahn?
Sure.
Is that? Well, and Madam Chair, to Mr. Lindeke's point, the claims with basis get their fee back, and so I think that makes sense.
All right. Is there any? Would you like to make that motion?
I will, Madam Chair.
4, line 11, delete 10, and insert 20. Are there any questions on the Westrum oral amendment,
Madam Chair?
Representative Kahn.
Unfortunately, Representative Winkler isn't on this committee, but having had the occasion once to get into a fight with Ron Latz on a conference committee, I wouldn't want to deprive the authors of that bill of that opportunity. So,
on that, no. Representative House.
Well, Madam Chair, should Representative Anderson say whether he likes it or not?
I'm sorry, certainly. Representative Anderson.
Well, Madam Chair, this was discussed again with Senator Latz and others in the Claims Committee, and we had tossed around that idea, but we're, again, trying to be conservative, we left it at 10, so whatever the will of the committee is.
All right, thank you. Any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Lindeke.
I think Senator Latz would not have a problem with this. Senator Latz actually was the person who was kind enough, having been last year's chair along with Representative Anderson was on the committee. Senator Latz was the one who was kind enough to say, you know, you had a few of those ideas that you tossed out and we didn't ever actually put them in a bill. Would you put them in a bill for me and I'll introduce it? So these were my ideas. Senator Latz certainly went along with them and introduced them, and I appreciate that.
Mr. Lindeke, I don't know if your comments are helping the Westrum Amendment or not, but with that, any other questions or comments on the Westrum Oral Amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Representative Anderson, if you'd like to renew your motion if there's no additional questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that House File 250, the first engrossment, as amended, be considered to be passed and moved to the General Register.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Anderson. I don't think we have any additional business to come before the committee. Unless something drastic changes, we will not meet tomorrow, but prepare for a meeting on Monday. So with that, the meeting's adjourned.